So thank you so much once again for having me, your pastor, Pastor Simeon, and the church secretary here. There's a lot of men I meet here in Nigeria that appear old, is at least as old as me, but you have no gray, and I'm trying to figure out as to what is your secret. I have a feeling it's at the barber shop. As to back home, it's the Grecian formula, and I'm considering to add a bit into my beard. Here's some gray there, sir, and I like it. Because I'm in the club with you. This text is very interesting. Matthew 18, verse number 4. Therefore, whoever humbles himself, the disciples were talking about who is the greatest, and that is a vain ambition. It's a shame that a human being would even have that on his mindset, but that is our natural nature. Even after we come into the kingdom of God, is we, just like them, we try to be great, to use the gospel for ourselves. And the whole reason that the prosperity gospel is prospering in its wicked way is because men want to use God to make themselves great. But if we're not careful, it is in us too. And I have had to have it ripped out of me and continually. I want to work on this and be humble in the sight of God and in my dealings with my brothers in the church. Is you're hearing me well? You're understanding me clearly? Yes? Whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is not what we think. By nature, we think it is greatness for ourselves. I'm going to use God to make me somebody. I'm going to use this gift of preaching to make something of myself. I'm going to be great. That is the vain ambition of man. The greatness of God is our calling. Our calling is to give glory unto God Almighty Himself. He saved us. It was not anything that we did at all. It was not works of righteousness that we have done. In election, it was election. He chose us. That is grace. That is the end of all glorying in self, is election. It is the cross of Christ. It is the blood shedding of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the power of the Holy Spirit that makes us able to understand the gospel, or we would still be foolish and blinded. And if you, as you can hold your hand there, or you can put your marker there, but in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 1, here is something that, as we realize, I have realized about the Apostle Paul, he could not, with all of his knowledge and all of his understanding of the gospel, he could not get himself out of a situation that was hurting him. With all of our knowledge, with my knowledge of the gospel, I cannot bring comfort into my heart. I cannot muster up the strength to serve and obey God. That does not come from man. It comes from God. It comes down from God only. Everything that we need in the gospel is a gift of God, and He supplies it. If we have this treasure, this excellent knowledge of Christ, if we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, in a clay jar, in a clay pot, that the excellency of the power may be of God instead of ourselves. He has not saved us and made us independent people. He's made us dependent on Himself. And faith, it brings us into access unto God, access unto God's favor, and dependence on God is how we get everything that we have in the spiritual realm. A man can be wicked and get the things of this world. That's easy enough. The people as to where I'm from are exceedingly grotesque in wickedness, and they have more money than you maybe can imagine. But that's not the kingdom of heaven. It's entirely spiritual. And to get the benefits of God into the soul of man, and to make ourselves of use in this kingdom unto other people, is a gift of God entirely. Every single moment that me and you are able to serve God is His gift unto us. So we have absolutely nothing to brag about at all. If we can serve, if I can serve, it's grace. If I have joy, it's grace. If I have peace, it's grace. If I'm obedient, it's grace all the way through. And so humility is wise. It's only reasonable. But from 2 Corinthians 1, the Apostle Paul, he said this. Verse number 10. Who delivered us from so great a death? The Apostle Paul, as he was in many straits, hardships. As the Apostle, he was shipwrecked, he was stoned, as he was beaten up until they thought that he was dead. He was hungry, homeless. Had to spend all night in the sea. Is he had perils with robbers? That they had kidnappers even back then. And so he's on the road to do ministry, and he is doing good, but out comes it's a robber to actually steal his stuff. And so he can't serve God in his natural strength. And the eternal God put him in situations that were over his head. As he said elsewhere, that the messenger Satan was given unto me to torment me, lest I be exalted, it's above measure, by the abundance of the revelations. He's saying, it's to keep me from being proud that the devil afflicted me at the permission of God, and I went through hardship. If people tell us, if you serve God well, then you'll have an easy life, that's not true. You'll have a life that only He can pull you through. And He will pull you through. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so the Apostle Paul is afflicted by the devil in a situation he couldn't get him. All of his knowledge couldn't help him. It means absolutely nothing if I know, but the Spirit isn't assisting me. I need God every second. A PhD won't solve my problems. I need God in the gospel. And so it was God. It's the same God. Let me start at verse number 8 here from 2 Corinthians 1, just to get the context. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of our trouble which came unto us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, in over my head, above strength. I couldn't handle it. I was exhausted. I prayed, I fasted, and still I had no help. So that we even despaired of life. I'm out of here, he says. I'm not. This one is just it. This is the last straw. This is my last hour on earth. Yes, verse 9 is we had the sentence of death in ourselves. I'm going to die. This one has got me. Why? That we should not trust in ourselves. He's going to eliminate that constantly. But in God, who raises the dead, is He's all powerful. And if the worst happens, it's all right. It's all right. This God, verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death, He pulls us out of things. And He does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will still deliver us. And He's not just talking about a physical trial. He's talking about its obedience, joy, peace, hope, the ability to help other people. That when I couldn't do it, and I knew I couldn't do it, that's when God did it. That's where humility comes from. He breaks pride. He breaks the strength of man. He crushes us until all we have is Him. And then He helps us so that if we sing or if we preach or if we give, if we make announcements, it's the glory, it really is going unto the Lord. It's a heart thing. As the old preacher said, that the distance in between the head and the heart is the greatest distance in the world. Only God can bridge that gap. Only God can make our hallelujah sincere. Only He can make us live for Him from the inside out. It was a man who said, I thank you, I ain't like everybody else. But another man said, oh, God be merciful unto me, a sinner. That one is the one that went home in perfect righteousness by faith. Let's go back. It's into our text, please. It's the book of Matthew 18 in verse number 4. And I want to break this text down into 3 points. Point number one, whoever humbles himself. Point two, as a little child. And point three, is the greatest in the kingdom. So point one is humbles himself. Is you've got, and I've got to be humbled by God, but I also must humble myself. Humble myself. It's in the book of Job in chapter number 36. As you see, a man can be humbled by God and not recognize it and refuse God and hate God and be angry at God because things haven't happened how he wanted them to. Oh, even if you look at Job, he's mad at God. He's saying, as to where is he? This is unfair. I've been righteous and I shouldn't be treated like this. Until he saw God and put his hand over his mouth and repented in dust and ashes. He said, I hate myself. I've been talking crazy. Who am I? I've seen you now. And that was the most righteous man on the planet. But he saw him better. And he said, I question God. So I have to humble myself and admit that when God crushes me, after I see my inability and my total need of righteousness and strength, that right down here at this spot, I must say, oh, thank you, God. You are righteous in all that you do. No man will ever be blessed until he's been cursed and admits, I deserve it. In Adam, the Almighty cursed us, sinner. And we become righteous after we don't have any righteousness. And we become strong after we don't have any strength. That's Samson. That's a superhuman being. He's leaning on Christ, who's faithful. But he empties so that he can fill, right? He brings us down to lift us up is because whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. So he humbles with trials, he humbles with afflictions, he humbles with his word, he humbles us with inability, he teaches us lesson. Job chapter number 36. Verse number 10 through 12. He also opens their ear unto discipline. It's in the King James, it may say instruction, but it's really a chastisement. It's a painful lesson. And commands that they turn from iniquity. He commands it. If they obey and serve him, if they yield, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. He'll give us the comfort of the Holy Ghost. He's a giving God. But if they do not obey, if they don't humble themselves, they shall perish by the sword. If they get angry at God and say, it's not my fault. I'm trying as hard as I can, and you won't accept me. That's what happened under Cain. Hear me, please. He doesn't want our best effort. He gives us grace. Can you see the difference? Not by our works, but by the blood he shed. That's how he accepts us, the cross of Christ. He doesn't want our muscles. He wants to stoop down and help us and pity us as a father his children. He wants all the glory and all the praise. And so he'll help us on his terms of you be nothing and rely upon me and I'll be faithful unto you. Is that the gospel? The apostle Paul said, even though I be nothing. Is he just being eloquent or acting humble, or has he really been taught in his heart? But if they do not obey, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. And the Lord Jesus said, if you don't humble yourself and become like a little child, there is no way into the kingdom. So everybody that's in the kingdom has been humbled, and we're being humbled until we leave earth. Is that okay? Can God treat us how he pleases? Can he make us obey him? I was thinking about my own life, and I have some skills in business and to make money. I was in California. There's a lot of opportunities there. I mean, he called me into ministry. I'm sure I have, by entering here, you enter in ministry as you make money. It's over there you enter and you lose money. I'm sure I've given up more than 90% of the money I could be making. Much, much more. Is that right of God? Is it fair of God to take my life and make me serve him as a missionary? Is that okay? The gift of God is God himself. And to be used by him and have his fellowship, just to have the privilege, and he's teaching me, just to have the privilege to study his word. In order to speak truth that I would not know just by being in a seat. He has actually elevated me. But the flesh still craves this present world. When God takes your dreams and flips it upside down, is it okay? You shall be great in the kingdom of God. If you get it in your heart and you worship him. Thank you, Lord. What you do is right. Help me understand. He will strengthen us with power. Oh, Africa has such an opportunity, such a privilege to be in Nigeria today for you to serve God and make everybody on earth shake and tremble. Your circumstances are it's your benefit. It's your helper. It's your privilege to strengthen your inner man to serve God. Because if me and you can praise God here, the whole world will hear it. 100 million Christians in Nigeria? No. No, there's not. But if half of this church has him on the inside with power, this whole area, they will hear God. It can't be hidden. Not if there's power. If it's okay He humbled me. If I'm okay, if I take my low seat, he's going to lift me up. He can't help himself. It's his nature. If you approach him humbly, he's going to exalt you with himself. It isn't money. That's what the devil offered our Lord Jesus. I'll give you money if you serve me. That's fool's gold. God gives you himself. It's the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. I've already referred. It's unto this. I hope you're hearing me well. I will try to slow down my speech. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, 11, I have become a fool in boasting. And he's boasting of his troubles to point their eyes to the sufficiency of the grace of Christ. That's what our Lord said in verse 9. But the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, 11, that you have compelled me, as you misused my ministry, you've been treating me badly, and I'm trying to show you that I'm a true messenger of God, and I'm unlike these other men who abuse you and use you. For I ought to have been commended by you, praised by you, and exalted my message. For in nothing as was I behind the most eminent apostles, and he's being a bit sarcastic, though I am nothing. The Apostle Paul had been worked on by the devil until he was in over his head. And as he's looking up at the feet of mercy, he's waiting on God. And God came through. But he learned, I'm going to lean on him and preach to him because I'm nobody. Oh, what a blessed lesson. How sweet it is to be nobody and have everything. Emptied of ourselves and have God. How sweet it is. Oh my. There isn't anything on earth like that. And we still want to have, it's the big seat and the notoriety. And it's the flesh. It's the flesh. Let's go back. Let's go back into our text. It's the book of Matthew 18. Verse number 4. Point number 2 is a hard one. Point number 1 is he humbles himself. Point number 2 I see is as a little child. Now, I've been confused over this for years, and I believe it opened. If you look at verse number 2, it says, then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst. It was a girl or a boy, but they came. It's obedience. Here in Nigeria, is I respect your culture. As you honor the aged, that's biblical. The husband is the head of the wife. He's not to abuse that, but to love his wife. If the wife is in subjection, but who's the bottom on the list? It's that boy you spank. It's the one you call and you say, "Hey, come here." Except me and you get there, we have no access unto God. Obedience is the highest life. And to be a person that is after the glory of God, the praise of God, the honor of God, and the names of God's people who are in the book of life being brought unto Christ and to be built up. Our life is others in the kingdom unto his glory. The apostle said, "I endure all things for the elect's sake. I give my life, whether I'm missionary or housewife." It's in Philippians in chapter 1. This is incredible. Verse number 15 says that some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife. They are preaching the true gospel for their own name. And some, it's from their heart. It's of goodwill. It's for Christ. It's the former preach Christ from a selfish motive, a selfish ambition, not truly from the heart. And they're preaching the gospel, supposing to add affliction unto my change. They are trying to take my spot as I'm in prison. But the latter is out of love. It's sincerely. He loves Christ in the gospel. He is forgiven. He loves God. He knows God truly. He blesses God from his soul. And Paul says that they're knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. I'm in this prison. I'm suffering. I'm preaching not for Paul, but for Jesus Christ. What then? Look at verse 18. "Is only that in every way, as to whether it's in pretense, if they're trying, if their motive is to out-preach me and get praise, if their motive is in truth and sincerity, as long as it's the true gospel, Christ is preached, I don't care about myself, in this I will rejoice," and I will rejoice. Did you see what he's saying? I don't care about me, he's saying. If they hate me, as long as they're preaching the gospel. That's a selfless human being. That's a little child. The only thing that mattered to him was the glory of God. "Say what you want about me," he says. "Treat me how you want," he says. "As long as somebody's helping you see Christ." That's a power-packed preacher. From the heart. Verse 19, "Oh, I know that this will turn out for my deliverance, because God has a use for people who love him sincerely. Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according unto my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed." Here's what I'm all about. "But with all boldness as always." And I really picture brother Samson as he pushed down those pillars, that Christ will be magnified in my body, as whether by life or by death. That's Samson in his last hour. Just get glory out of me. That has to be our prayer. And I'm not saying I'm there. I think I'm willing to lay my life down. I think so. I don't know. I haven't yet. But to magnify Christ as the only ambition in life, preaching can be the magnification of the preacher with the truth on his lips. He's saying his heart was all about Christ's glory. I want a heart like that, sir. So we're going to have to pray for that and ask God. Make my only ambition in life is to give you glory. That's a little child. That's obedience. That's humbling myself. That's loving my neighbor. That's being forgiving. That's speaking in love. That's reality. If the heart is right. Back to Matthew 18. Point number three, and I've already touched on it, and so I'll be brief. One, it's whoever humbles himself. Two, as a little, it's an obedient child. Three, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And obviously our Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ is the most humble, as he came down from eternal, as he came down from being eternal God into being God manifested in the flesh as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto the death of the cross. And therefore God hath highly exalted. He's the greatest. But even amongst us, whoever it be, is you don't need any money to have God. You don't need any talent. That little boy back there, if he can hear, if he can hear, he can have God inside of him with power. He could have in his estate more communion with God than any man on earth if he humbled himself as a little child. Is it what you have? It's actually, it is only for nobodies who have nothing. You can have God. And it is the greatest thing. It's the sweetest thing. It's the most peace. It's to be useful. It's to love people. It's to serve. There isn't any reason for us to ever murmur again in our life. There's no reason for us to complain about anything that he does. He's redeemed us from the pit of corruption. He paid our sin debt. He chose us. He teaches us. He helps us. And the greatness of his presence, the joy, the peace, that's what makes missionaries. They're happy people who have to serve and say thank you. The Apostle Paul, it's my last scripture verse, is Philippians in chapter number 2, verse number 1-4, and then I'll be finished with a brief word of conclusion. The Apostle Paul says, and the reason I'm in the text is he can say it even better than I can quote it. He said, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if you feel the encouragement, if there's any comfort of love, if you feel he loves you and takes good care of you, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is blessing you with the knowledge of God that pulls you out of your troubled sea of a heart, and he grants you peace and joy and love and fulfillment and satisfaction, if there's any affection and mercy that is coming up out of you because God's in your soul and you're happy, you're content, you're satisfied, you are forgiven, you have the strength of God. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded. This is a church having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. It's the same love towards God and towards each other. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition. There is no seeking after a seat or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. The Almighty God enables us to do that. If the joy is in here first, and the prayers made, and we see his glory helping nobodies for Christ's sake. To be used to help your brother, what a privilege. To point other people's eyes unto Christ. That is the good life. That, my brethren, my sisters, that's the greatness that me and you are looking for, is to give him glory and him to bless us because of it. He blesses us with the ability, and then he blesses us with the peace and the joy and the fruitfulness. The Lord bless you, saints. I want to be greatest. I have a new ambition. I've had a change of mind. I am to pursue greatness, but it's his greatness. And in that, like John the Baptist, he shall be great. God, the Lord bless you. Amen.